I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It is a recap of match day 4. We are back after the international break. We've got 6 games to recap, so make sure you tune in to all the podcasts to hear about all those matches. I'm joined today by Rory Barlow. How are you, Rory?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Good to be back. Nice to have a little international break, but better to have La Liga back.
Absolutely right. As I say, only 6 games to cover this weekend. There are 2 on Monday, but 6 for us to cover in this edition of the podcast. It should have been 8, but 2 were postponed. Rory, do you want to just give us a quick update on why that was?
Yeah, so it was due to the international break. The players essentially having squeezed an extra game into this international period. They were arriving late. I think some of the games in South America were still taking place on Friday. And so some of the clubs naturally complained that they didn't have their players available and it was unfair to force them to play within that time. La Liga was also in agreement with this and decided that they would thus postpone some of their games. And Javier Tebas, of course, is at the centre of this, and Luis Rubiales, as anything that Tebas is for, Rubiales is against. Of course, president of the federation, Luis Rubiales, complained about this and said that they wouldn't be postponing things as they didn't see a necessary reason. The matter couldn't be solved between the two of them. Shock, no surprise there. And so it went to the Spanish Ministry for Sport, the CSD, who decided that there was not enough reason to postpone the matches. And so, or there was sufficient reason to postpone the matches, sorry. And yes, we have another battle between Tebas and Rubiales. Tebas won this time, but I'm sure we'll be back commentating on that again before too long in October international breaks.
Yeah, this one could rumble on for the next couple of windows with those extra fixtures scheduled for those South American teams. Well, the 6 games that did take place, let's have a quick recap of the results. Started off in Valencia, Levante looked like they were going on for a win, but Rayo equalised in the dying moments for Sergio Guardiola on debut. So Rayo took a point there. It's again 6 points dropped from Levante from winning positions this season. And we'll hear from Paco very soon about all things Valencia and Levante. Later that day, Athletic Club got a pretty convincing 2-0 win over Mallorca. Iker Muniain assisting 2 goals there as Iñaki Williams played his 300th game for the club. Then on to Sunday, Atletico Madrid was struggling. At half-time in Coruña, they were behind. Raúl de Tomás had scored for Espanyol, but in the second half, Simeone's changes made the difference with Yannick Carrasco and Thomas Lemar in the 99th minute getting a win for Cholo's men. Then Valencia, as we will hear from Paco very soon, they won 4-1 at El Sadar, a really emphatic victory away from home for them. We'll hear all about that very soon. Stay tuned. Then Real Sociedad, another couple of second half goals from Mikel Oyarzabal were enough to get the victory away at Cadiz. And then in the final game of Sunday, it was a barnstormer at the Santiago Bernabeu, the first game back for well over a year, over 560 days. Real Madrid running out 5-2 winners over Celta, but they were behind twice, and we'll hear from Hassan Karim on that exciting game, so stay tuned for that as well. But first, we are starting with a surprise package in La Liga this season. It is the Valencians, and we will hear from Paco. But first, here's some commentary of their wing wizard, Gonçalo Guedes.
Guedes took it down beautifully on the chest. Guedes still goes for power! And if there was any doubt about who scored Valencia's second goal, there is no question who has scored this one. It is a beauty from Gonçalo Guedes.
I'm joined here by Paco Polit, our resident expert on Valencia and all things Valencian community. How are you doing, Paco?
Hi, mate. Pretty well after this weekend, even though we've had plenty of happiness for Valencia fans. Not so much for Levante fans, who once again saw how their hard-earned 3 points were over in the last minutes of the game, in the proverbial last minutes of the game after Rayo got the leveler. But overall, it was a positive weekend overall in Valencia.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we just heard Gonçalo Guedes score that wonderful third goal for Valencia against Osasuna. But we're going to start with Levante and the rougher weekend in Valencia. They had an interesting summer window. They were a bit restricted in terms of wages. They brought in Scotjan Mustafi, Enrique Franquesa and Roberto Soldado. They'll be all right, won't they? Because there were definitely issues that they could have addressed in defence.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that Levante's market hasn't been as good as it should, even though it was off to a promising start after they were able to bag Roberto Soldado, which was one of the, you know, of the gems in the market, even though he's a veteran striker, 36-year-old, if I recall correctly. He got injured after match day one, and that's been a problem. But later, yeah, Franquesa was a good signing for them, but they waited too long and they weren't able to get rid of some players which they surely wanted to, transfer to other sites, and they were unable to. Actually, this weekend we saw the first team debut in La Liga, because he had already played for Levante in Copa del Rey, of Pepelu, who is a youth academy midfielder. Many fans actually ask for more minutes and more chances for him, but Paco López to this point hasn't really trusted him. And obviously Mustafi, who has been the last signing after the market was already closed. But overall, I think that Levante needed more reinforcements. They needed to strengthen their midfield. They needed to get yet another striker, because even though they have good attackers, they need some sort of number nine who is able to slot them in. And they sure needed to build up more defenders, to get more players in those positions, because at this point I believe it's Levante's weakest spot. Central defenders, we've seen players such as Koke who aren't going to have their opportunity. So overall, Levante have a very, very strong midfield, good strikers overall, but a very weak defense, and that was what ultimately made them to lose 2 points against Rayo.
Yeah, certainly, and that's something that's reflected in a recent piece that we did on the La Liga Lowdown website, myself and Tom Harris, reviewing every transfer window for every club. But back to Levante, they drew against Rayo, and it was a late equaliser, perhaps unfair on Levante, maybe. But as a wider question, is the relationship between Paco López and Levante going a bit stale, or is this just another blip like we saw last season?
First up, I don't think that it was undeserved for Rayo. I think overall, actually, they were better than Levante. They were the better team in the second half. They got 22 shots, obviously only 6 of them on target, but overall, Rayo were attacking quite a lot, and they deserve at least to get a goal. The main problem, the main issue for Levante was that they conceded in the little last minute. So that's what made some of the fans in Ciudad de Valencia to whistle and to boo the manager ultimately, because Paco López was in the center of their target. Okay, but possibly so, there's a segment of the fans, of Levante fans, who believe that Paco López hasn't been really able to evolve his style, and that the gung-ho attacking football which he showed in his first season or his first 10, 12 games in Levante when he was put in charge of the side in, if I recall correctly, March 2018. He has never been able to build up on that, okay? Because Levante's seasons overall have been like roller coasters. They started, for example, last year very, very badly. They were able to get an incredible streak of results. But in their last 10, 12 games, they were absolutely awful. Once they crossed that 40-point milestone, they just relaxed. They were unable to keep their concentration high. And that meant that the opposition had it very, very easy to beat them. And that's currently the issue this season. Because they were unable to win once again. Three draws. They only lost once. But at the same time, only 3 points out of 12 is very worrisome, especially if you add the last few games of last year. Overall, it's 12 games without winning, and obviously there's quite a lot of unrest between the fans.
For once, there's less worries at Paterna and at Mestalla with Valencia. I'm not even going to set this up as a particularly pointed question. I just want your impressions, Paco. What's it like being sort of part of the Valencia entorno and sort of finding your team doing so well at the start of the season after so long where they've, frankly, just not?
Well, Mr. Barlow, I have to admit that it's quite nice for once because we've been suffering for quite a long time already since September 2019. It's been the 2 years mark already crossed. Since that September 11th when Valencia, or better said Meriton, I always insist in this, I do it whenever I rant in Spanish, I do it whenever I talk over here with you guys in La Liga Lowdown, I always try to insist that Valencia are one thing and their board, their management, Meriton Holdings, is another one. So in September 2019, Meriton Holdings were the ones to sack Marcelino, to destroy a project and to ultimately, you know, tear down the building. That's what happened with Marcelino and later going for Matteo Alemany, who also had to leave, Pablo Longoria, who also had to leave. So everything was torn down to pieces. And from that point onward, it's been two miserable years, hands down, like no contest in that sense. And that's why, after you asked me your question, it's, you know, refreshing to finally be able to enjoy Valencia games, seeing a recognizable squad, seeing a recognizable playstyle, and finally seeing a manager who knows what to do. Like, Bordalas is the worthy successor of Marcelino in the sense that the playstyle is very similar, the attitude is very similar, the way he's been trying to get the players into a pack, to form a family inside the locker room, trying to get everyone involved, trying to bring from the brink of extension players such as Gonzalo Guedes, who seemed awful at the beginning of last season, and in the last 2-3 months of the 2021 year, and in the first 4 games of this one, he's been absolutely unstoppable. And that has to be a merit of the coach. That has to be necessarily a merit from José Bordalás, who has been able to finally get Maxi Gómez once again into the fold. He's motivated. The Uruguayan striker scored once again after quite a few games this past weekend. And overall, he managed to go over to El Sadar, beat Osasuna, who had been unbeaten to this point in La Liga this season, and do it with 4 goals in spectacular fashion. So overall, I think Valencia fans are super happy and they have many reasons to be so.
Yeah, and it's something that even I've enjoyed from afar. Obviously, I'm not quite as invested as you guys are, but it's refreshing to see Valencia sort of taking on that role of being a big club and a challenge for teams that they maybe weren't last season. You mentioned Marcelino and the sort of destruction of a project by Meriton. Is there a way that Bordalás can build something here despite Meriton, or is it partido a partido and we'll see what happens?
Bordalás got asked actually that question in the press conference after the game. I think that his attitude to this point is just going, as you said, game after game, partido a partido, and trying to pick up as many points as possible in the beginning of the season. Mostly because we've seen that Valencia are a side who rely heavily on streaks, and those can be both positive and negative. At this point, I have to say that it surely seems that Valencia have been touched by the magic wand and everything is going according to plan. With the exception of a few injuries, for example, Cheryshev had problems in his knee and he had to be subbed against Osasuna. José Luis Gallá also finished the game with a few, I don't know, I would say pain in his leg, because he had also been injured, gotten injured again in the game played with the Spanish national side. Overall, if we leave that aside, everything is going according to plan. Every single player is putting their expertise on top of the table. Guedes is on fire, Maxi is scoring, Carlos Soler is being the leader that everyone knew, at least in my case, everyone, we expected him to be one of those kinds of players, being able to just carry the whole team on his back. So overall, and also I have to speak necessarily about the VAR rulings in the game against Osasuna. Ultimately, they all benefited Valencia, because in this case, you know, the offside and the referee calls ultimately were all in Valencia's favor because the VAR ruled so. So everything is in that kind of positive, constructive mood. And, you know, Valencia fans have to enjoy this, and Bordalás has to take advantage of this, because it's very difficult to turn a team around in such a manner as the way he's doing so. And he's going to try to capitalize on the way the team is behaving, and they have an incredible chance of proving so once again next match day against Real Madrid in a Mestalla stadium, which will have an incredible atmosphere, even though the restrictions because of the COVID-19 are still in place. But we expect an incredible night on Sunday, and that game against Real Madrid possibly will test Valencia's current state to a realistic point. Because the games against Osasuna, Alaves, Granada ultimately are against teams which surely or possibly will be from the half of the table to the bottom and fighting between that 10th place and the relegation spots.
And long may the streak last, frankly, Paco. I can't wait for the Real Madrid game. I think it's going to be a fantastic fixture. If that doesn't get you going, then I think you need to reassess your views on football. But I'll thank you for your time, Paco. As always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Super happy to be able to talk about Valencia and Levante, and surely we have an incredible show this week.
Gracias, and back to you, Matt.
Thanks very much for that, Paco. Indeed, some tougher fixtures ahead for Valencia, starting with Real Madrid next week. So after the break, we're going to hear what happened when Real Madrid returned to the Santiago Bernabeu. Stay tuned.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com Betterhelp.com/host.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. Still to come, we've got chat on Real Madrid, Athletic Club, and all the rest of the action, as well as our moments of the weekend, and of course, MVP. But now, as they returned to the Santiago Bernabeu after 560 days away, Real Madrid back on their home patch. And we're hearing now from Hassan Karim. But first, some commentary of the new fans' favourite, Vini Jr.
Fuera de juego, Vini mano a mano, Vini mano a mano, Vini chuta, gol, gol, gol,
gol. ¿Cómo ha mejorado? Por Dios.
Gol, 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 oh. Gol, gol, gol. Ancelotti se mete en el campo.
I'm here now with a very happy Hassan Karim. Hass, last time you were on the pod, it was after that incredible Levante game, 3-3. And this one had even more goals, seven of them, but this time 5-4 Real. What a performance. What do you make of that?
I mean, in the last episode when I spoke about Levante, I likened it to that Toy Story quote from Buzz Lightyear. I said we're falling in style. This time, I'm gonna liken it to Rocky and say, like, if you get held down and you get punched down and stuff like that, get up and hit it back, essentially. And that's what Real did in this game, which was nice to see. They got up, like a Rocky gets up off the canvas and cracks Apollo Creed a few times. This is exactly what they did, and just overwhelmed them.
They had to come from behind twice, didn't they? Not once,
literally.
But twice. Santi Mina really spoiled the party at the Bernabeu with that goal inside 4 minutes. Mm. And then Real reacted quite well. They were on the front foot straight away. The equaliser came. And then they were hit again. So it's 2-1 at the break. And you're thinking this could be a tricky second half. But what a second half performance. Vinicius, Benzema with a hat-trick. And a debut from Camavinga. Just so many positives. What is your take from all of that? Who stood out most for you?
I'd have to really go with Vinicius, which is weird considering the Benzema scored a hat-trick. That's probably quite a rare occurrence where you'll actually overshadow a player who scored a hat-trick. But Vinicius was absolutely brilliant in this game. He really just took the game by the scruff of the neck, and he had Levante just really shaken every time he was on the ball. They just didn't know what to do with him. Whether he turned up on the left or the right or down the middle, his energy was incredible. He was direct, he was brave. That clinical finish, of course, as well, which, as he was literally right in front of the keeper, I sat there just like, I'm not sure which way this is going to go. He's either going to get that right perfectly, or he's going to spoon it out wide. You just don't quite know, but this season he seems to really have turned the corner in that sense. And the celebration, poor. That was brilliant, loved it.
Yeah, those things in the crowd. Let's hope he comes back with a nice COVID check.
Absolutely. Get that lateral flow checked out.
Yeah, it just shows the emotion of the game, doesn't it? And what it means for him. He clearly loves playing for Real Madrid. He always makes a point of kissing the badge when he scores. And he's clearly determined to really give everything for the team. And I think this season we've seen that with Ancelotti. He's given him extra confidence. And his finishing is clearly improving. He's already scored 4 in La Liga, which is already a personal best. Now, of course, that isn't a massive number. But the way he is the form he's showing, he could easily reach double figures, no?
Yeah, no, I always say, Vinicius has got really high ceiling. He's always had a really high ceiling. It was just a consistency which always lacked. And it seems he seems to have found that consistency now, where he can put the ball in and he can bring end product to that sort of X-factor glimpses and flashes kind of thing that he had before. You see it through, especially to Madrid Twitter for the longest time, we've all been saying, when he learns to finish, it's over for everyone. And it seems he's learned to finish, and that can be very dangerous for opposing sides, because he's always had that X factor brilliance on the ball. We always knew he had that trickery, but it, as we said, he just lacked the end product. He wouldn't pick the right pass, or he'd always screw up the easy finishes. But now he seems so poised and so calm in front of goal. I don't see why not. Why not have double digits in goals in this season? Why not?
Certainly an achievable target, I think. We've spoken about the positives. Let's talk about maybe a couple of things for Carlo Ancelotti to think about as we head in towards a busy period of games. They did concede twice again. They have conceded 6 goals already in the league this season. It's definitely a change from the security of Zidane's back four. Obviously, we know that they've lost Laurent and Ramos. How do you see that going forward? Do you think you'll be able to outscore every team you come up against?
this is the question I've been asking pretty much every week, and I'm pretty sure I said it on the first episode as well during the previews. Is it possible for Carlo to bring back that that mantra he had in the original tenure when he had, you know, the BBC at full, you know, full pump? You know, you score two, we'll score five, literally today in that case. And I did wonder, can he do that this time around? You know, Ronaldo's gone. Bale's still, you know, here and there, not quite what he was. Eden Hazard's still finding his feet. Benzema obviously is contributing as he always does. I think he's got 9 goal contributions in 4 games. And Vinicius again was always a bit of a question mark. So we've seen they have essentially been the entertainers of La Liga so far for the first 4 games, especially on the front foot. But as you said, conceding quite a lot. So I expected it to be the case. Did expect it to be the case. Whether he can continue to do that against, you know, the sterner, tougher defences, you know, like your Atletico Madrid, you know, those kind of guys, can you keep that going? I'm not sure just yet. I don't think you can firmly say yes or no to that yet. I think we still need a bit more time just to see consistency and difference of opponent. One thing I do take a note from, though, is we seem to be a lot better against low blocks now than we were under Zidane. Just because there's a bit more emphasis on making runs, I feel. And I've noticed this as well. Carlo Ancelotti's a hell of a lot more animated this time around. I feel he's a bit more ruthless than he was in that first tenure. He doesn't paint that cool, composed figure on the touchline. You see him waving his hands around, shouting, and having, you know, quite stern reactions.
It certainly seems like it certainly seems like he doesn't want to be the kind of "we'll outscore you" kind of thing. He does want to keep that solidity at the back.
Yeah.
But as you say, time will tell whether he can improve on that. But overall, I think, as we say, the South American players coming back, Fede Valverde's engine is seemingly infinite. And a debut for Camavinga and a goal inside 6 minutes. And Modric rolling back the years, he just gets better and better.
Unbelievable.
Doesn't he? So I think a pretty solid performance overall, very exciting for the fans. Are you favourites for the league?
It's tough, isn't it? Because Atletico Madrid have got that seriously good squad depth, and it is seriously good. You know, despite the fact he did have a stinker today, Griezmann, you know, coming back is useful. You know, they got Rodrigo De Paul, who was a very, very good purchase. You know, I really, you know, commended that one because I think he's a very Simeone player, and we've seen already he does really add to that side. And they have a lot of strength in numbers, and I feel Madrid aren't thin. It's not a thin squad, but it doesn't have that same level of depth that Atletico has. A lot stronger than Barca's squad, but in comparison to Atletico, still some way behind. But if they can keep scoring like that, I see us definitely up there, you know, punching with Atletico all the way through to the end of the season like we did last year. It's just a case of whether we can stop making the silly mistakes. I mean, both goals in this game came from mistakes. Probably should have conceded another one with Carvalho making that sloppy... I think it was Carvalho playing that sloppy pass back.
Aspas had a chance and Nolito second half. So there were a few moments.
Yeah, so there were some moments where would a more clinical side have punished them for that. So, you know, those questions are still there.
Perhaps we'll know this week. It's a big week for Real Madrid. They have Inter Milan in the Champions League, which comes back. And then next weekend, top of the table clash, Valencia.
Yeah, who are also flying.
Exciting week ahead. They are
indeed. It's going to be a nervous week ahead, for sure. I mean, Inter are scoring, you know, for fun. In a similar kind of stance to what we are now. Scoring and conceding. And Valencia are kind of the same, scoring and somewhat conceding. Probably not at the same rate, but they are, you know, two sides that are probably just going to go tooth and nail at it. But I think it was important for Madrid to get the win today. You know, I can't imagine it was an easy affair going back to the Bernabeu in front of the crowd. I can imagine the jitters were probably there. So to get that kind of win, win the crowd on side. And, you know, there were players also who did, you know, keep the crowd on side. Like Hazard got a standing ovation as he went off. Good performance from him as well. So these little sort of confidence boosters are just going to be huge for those moments, I think.
Yeah, a very happy return to the Bernabeu for Real Madrid on Sunday night. Thank you very much for joining us, Hass. Enjoy the rest of the week, and hopefully you'll be celebrating many more Karim Benzema goals.
Let's hope so. Pichichi season, and I've already put the Ballon d'Or propaganda out on Twitter, so make sure to check that one.
Cheers, Hass.
No worries.
Thanks, Haas. As you can tell, he was absolutely ecstatic with that performance and result. But a big week ahead for Carlo Ancelotti's men. Now we're going to turn to the north of Spain and another club that has had a very successful start to the season, albeit slightly under the radar. So we're going to shine the spotlight on them now. And we're going to hear from Beñat. He gives us the lowdown on Athletic Club.
Gol del Atleti! Gol del Atleti! Gol! De ese centralito que tiene el Atleti.
I'm joined now by Beñat Gutiérrez. He's an Athletic fan and he saw the game on Saturday night as Athletic won their second game in a row to maintain their unbeaten start to their La Liga season. Beñat, what did you think of the game?
It was not probably the best game for Athletic, if we look at the whole game, but they showed how solid they can be under Marcelino, that the plan is working quite well, and I think one of the keys for this performance for Athletic is how well they are working defensively, how difficult it is to actually take a shot against Athletic. It's been very difficult for all their rivals, no matter who was in front of them. And I think even if it wasn't the best game, for example, for players like Muniain that struggled during the game, he was really important on the key moments of the game. And then, again, we saw Iñaki Williams scoring, that I think that's going to be really important for the season, because when you think about Williams and kind of think how he's seen in Bilbao, there's always this noise about he not being a high scorer, which is true. He's not the kind of guy who's going to give you over 20 goals a season, but he can. He's very important for the team. He's one of those players that we actually need to find how to make him work well within the team. And the fact that he scored already 2 goals this season is going to make him stronger mentally. He's very happy with his 300 games. And in general, I think Athletic performed quite great during the game, but was on point on the key moments of the game.
Yeah, you mentioned Iñaki there. It was a landmark performance, his 300th game for the club. He's also on this incredible run of 199 consecutive La Liga matches. Very close to the record now, and he will surely get there in a few weeks. But you wrote in our pre-season preview, you mentioned that he needs to contribute more goals to really help the team, because as we know, they're always solid defensively, but it is just that goal-scoring touch. Do you think now with 2 in his last 2 that he can really kick on and register double figures for goals this year?
I don't think he's going to go on crazy figures, because he's not that kind of player. And it's one of the problems that's been in Bilbao to evaluate what Iñaki Williams is. I will say that he's actually an underrated player here, sometimes over-criticized. The thing about his salary always comes on every discussion about the player, being like he's overpaid, stuff like that. That comes also with other players, because I think it's a very Bilbao thing to think that our players are not good enough for the money they are making. But we need to understand how he plays. We need to understand that he is not the substitute of a player like Aduriz or something like that. He's very different. He plays. He needs more space. He needs the team probably to find in different ways. He can play with a goal on his back. But he can give a lot of things to the team that he actually does every game. He's very important, and it's impossible to not count him as one of the best players in the team. And sometimes I feel some fans, some supporters are quite unfair with him.
Mm. Well, we talked about the defensive record as well. He was actually opened the scoring. Daniel Vivian, another young centre-back coming through the academy. And he's part of that defence that's only conceded 1 goal in their first 4 games. So with that solidity, and with Muniain and Iñaki starting to link up very well, how far do you think Athletic can go this season?
Well, that's a really good question. First of all, I think Athletic is having or is dealing with the same problems Athletic was dealing last year. And Marcelino knows that. There's this problem with scoring goals that still the team struggles, and there's a problem with creativity in the midfield. But I think Marcelino is looking for different options. First of all, he's trying with that partnership between Williams and Sanzet. Sanzet wasn't playing yesterday because he was injured, but it seems that he earned the spot over Raul Garcia, and that's going to be the usual thing along the season. and then he's giving other options in the midfield, like players like Vencedor that seem to be also, they play, Vencedor played last year, but he's having more minutes. He seems like the usual starter right now. Zárraga is getting also more minutes, so he's trying to find different profiles of midfielders to kind of solve that problem about the creativity. People is not happy with Dani García. Sometimes that problem about the Garcias come up again. But he is a player that has full confidence from Marcelino, and he's gonna stay there again. And the thing is that sometimes the team struggles in those two scenarios, in the midfield and scoring goals, but we are seeing something that people was asking Marcelino. It was like he was asked to renew the team. He was asking to give more minutes to players from the academy, and that's happening. As I said, we have Vencedor as a starter right now. We have Zara with more minutes. We're seeing Sanzet also on the regular, seeming to be the starter partner with Iñaki Williams, and we're also getting minutes for the other of the Williams, like Nico, very exciting player that we have a lot of hope on expectations on him this year, and also seeing players like Nico Serrano, who also played yesterday, and you mentioned Dani Vivian. People is going crazy about him here in Bilbao, and I understand perfectly why. 22, I was reading yesterday, like, oh, he's a legend, he's a future captain, and I was like, okay, let's relax.
Calm down.
But he looks, but he looks like an amazing player, and he's proving a lot, and let's see what happens when Gerai is available again for Marcelino, because actually, Vivian is setting a very, very high tone. He's playing very well, and it's going to be very difficult for Gerai or for Unai to take him out of that position. He's working really well with Inigo.
Yeah, absolutely. Some very encouraging signs at the start of this season for Athletic Club. Thank you very much, Benyat, for joining me today, and we look forward to speaking to you later in the season.
Whenever you want, mate. I'm very happy to be on the show.
Thank you. Thanks to Benyat for the lowdown from Bilbao. Now, Atletico Madrid, they left it very late in Cornellà to win their game against Espanyol 2-1. 99th minute winner from Thomas Lemar. And as Mr. Chip said, it is the latest ever goal to win a game in La Liga. Rory, they got it done in the end, but they made it hard for themselves, didn't they?
Absolutely. In true Atleti fashion, they did suffer and they did win. I thought... I will give a sort of wee mention to Sergi Darder, who I thought was really impressive in midfield in the first half, and even in the second half he managed to put his foot on the ball when Espanyol needed it. But it was also partly down to the fact that there was very little of Atleti's midfield to deal with, in the sense that although Marcos Llorente is there, he's not always positioned in the centre of the park as Koke is, but even he himself is neither a holding midfielder or sort of necessarily designed to play there on his own. And so I thought you saw a really sort of marked improvement in Atleti when Kondogbia and Lemar came on, and Simeone, fair play to him, he managed to correct it, he managed to get it right, but he did get it wrong initially for me. And I think finding the balance for this Atleti team is going to really be his main task, because with all those attackers on the field, it was too top heavy.
It seemed like he had all these shiny new toys and he just wanted to throw them on all at once. As a Barca fan, it must be interesting to see Antoine Griezmann play again for Atleti. How did you see his first game back?
Not great, to be perfectly honest. I think it was a performance that was familiar to many Barcelona fans, in the sense that he worked hard, he tried to do his job, but just wasn't not necessarily effective. But yeah, he didn't play a major role in the game, and he didn't look comfortable in his position, I have to say. And that's that. I mean, Simeone has to find a role for him, and it's very early days. I'm not saying he won't, but that kind of performance was the reason that many Barcelona fans, I don't think, will be too gutted to see him leave. I will say there was a bit of controversy about the timing of the goal, which was very late, Matt.
Indeed, and an interesting report coming out on Spanish radio, Partidazo Cope, this evening. It says that some of the Spanish first and second division teams had actually asked the chief of referees, Velasco Carballo, to actually extend the matches by longer We saw Pellegrini moan about all the time wasting that he felt Cadiz were doing a few weeks ago, and it seems that they've agreed to those demands. And according to this, 17 of the La Liga games this season already have exceeded 97 minutes. So this is going to be a bit more of an ongoing trend, I think, isn't it?
Definitely. And most fans, I think, are in agreement that we don't want to be robbed of football and we don't mind time being added on. But as I'm sure many people who perhaps didn't want Atleti to win today will point out, as long as it's consistent, as long as it's the same for everyone, nobody will complain. And at this point, I'm not sure we've seen that just yet.
Yeah, consistency is the key. Well, there's three winless sides that we've seen in action this weekend. Espanyol, as we've just seen, one of them. Another is Cadiz. They lost 2-0 to Real Sociedad. And as well, Celta. We've heard all about Real Madrid's win there, but Celta on the receiving end of that 5-2. Rory, what's your take on these three sides in particular? Have they got similar problems, or do you think they're going to be able to solve it?
I think Espanyol will be okay. They just need to sort themselves out in both boxes for me. And I think Vicente Moreno maybe needs to be a little bit less conservative, because he does have talent to do more with that team. Cadiz, for me, I don't feel like Silvero will be worried by Sunday's start, and I think against Real Betis they looked really, really good. This game was just perhaps a little bit too much for them, and they were beaten by a fantastic goal. I think Alex Elustondo's ball was amazing, and Oyarzabal's header to meet it was pretty good as well. And then Celta, they're so finely balanced. When they're on it, when they're right, they can rip anyone apart, and they did in parts against Real Madrid go through them. But when you rely so much on one or two key pieces like Renato Tapia, then it's liable to come crumbling down and you really leave yourself vulnerable. And I think Chacho Caudet really needs to sort of think about that and try and find a way to make this team more solid, because you can't outscore teams every week.
Yes, finely balanced indeed for Celta. Now let's turn to our moments of the week. Rory, what have you gone with?
For me, it's nothing particularly notable other than the fact that it was Raul de Tomas who scored, for me, the perfect near post header. It was absolutely brilliant. And Oblak, not often he doesn't die for something because he knows he's not getting there, but this was right inside the far post. So that was my moment. What about you, Matt?
I've gone for Sergi Guardiola getting that last gasp equaliser for Rayo at Levante. We've heard from Paco all about that game, of course, but for me, it was a real good moment for Rayo. They were really good in this game. They deserved the draw, I think. And it was just so nice to see them get that in the end. A couple of changes from Andoni Areola made the difference. Bebe with the assist. And of course, Sergio Guardiola doesn't score many goals, but this one was an emphatic finish into the roof of the net. And the celebrations were rightly euphoric. Now it's time for MVP. And Rory, I'm going to ask you for your three or your picks for this week.
Yannick Carrasco, for me, made the difference. I think without him, Atleti don't win this game. Firstly, for his endeavour. Secondly, for his skill. So he's on the list. Gonzalo Guedes is just magic. I love watching him. And anyone who's not been watching Valencia at the start of the season, it's worth it for him alone. And then Vinny Jr. as well. He's also electric and just really enjoying his football in the minute. And I think he's on his way to becoming the player that he has the potential to be, and that's a pretty exciting prospect if you're a Madrid fan. What about yourself, Matt?
Oh, there's some great candidates there. For me, I'm going to go with a couple of Basques. I thought Iker Muniain, he wasn't perhaps his best free-flowing in open play, but for me, he was still decisive in Athletic's win with those two assists for both goals as they saw that win over Mallorca. And again, for me, Mikel Oyarzabal, he was the difference once again for Real Sociedad. He's the captain, he's the leader, he's played all through the summer. I know he had a break with Spain recently, but he just hasn't let up at all. He's so decisive, he's already scored four goals this season. I know they have the Alexanders up front, but for me, he's still the main man. And again, you can't leave Karim Benzema out with a hat-trick. His sixth for Real Madrid, first in 2 years. You just have to have him in the conversation. It was another phenomenal performance from him. Not just a hat-trick, but another assist as well. He really is the leader for that team and something that Carlo is really building around. So he's got to be in the conversation, I think. There's some six really strong candidates there. It's going to be quite hard to decide in the final four, but that is what we will do. So stay tuned to the Twitter for that vote on Monday. It'll be out, as will this podcast. So make sure you follow us, La Liga Lowdown, on Twitter for that. That's just about a wrap for this podcast then. Thank you very much, Rory, for joining me.
Thank you. A pleasure as always, Matt.
Perfect. And thanks again to Benyat, to Paco and to Hassan for their views, opinions and insights on those matches. And of course, thank you to you, listener, for being with us all the way. We've got European football coming up this week. Big week of Champions League, Europa League, Spanish sides involved in some big games. Stay tuned for that. We'll be on La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. Keep an eye on our content on the website as well, laligalowdown.com. And we look forward to seeing you and speaking to you again very soon. Thanks very much.
Ciudad de Valencia, Levante 1, Rayo 0, ataca el Rayo, viene Bebé, chuta, fútbol del Rayo.
Merecido.
Gol, 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 gol del Rayo Vallecano, Guardiola.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.